Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focused on Albany. I'm your host, Cynthia Pooler, and I have three guests on today. Carly Hill, who is the AGC Regional Director in Region 5. Ryan Forresto, who is the President of the Cold Spring Construction. And Hal Morris, was the Executive Director of the Greater Buffalo and Niagara Transportation Council. And they're here to talk about infrastructure in New York State, what's lacking, what can be done, and so forth. So, Carly, since we had previously talked, I met you in Albany, why don't you start the conversation going? What are the important issues facing New Yorkers as far as infrastructure?
Well, that's thanks, Cynthia, for having us on today. It's always a great opportunity to share with your audience some of the successes, but also the existing challenges to having a 21st century transportation system. And New York State has always been at the lead in the U.S. for transportation development, and that's due largely to federal and state investment and the availability of a healthy workforce and a good, strong engineering backbone. That is our legacy, but it is definitely flagging, and there's some very clear indicators that we no longer are at the forefront of what a 21st century transportation system looks like. Some of the key pieces that come to mind for myself when I talk to people in our region is the necessity for transportation corridors for expanding freight opportunities, for example. The other piece that we find that it's on the freight issue is a lot of our, for example, our thruway system is lagging when it comes to some simple things that are happening across the country and in our northern counterpart in Canada, such things like high-speed easy pass, electronic toll collections, those types of things that make infrastructure user-friendly for freight corporations for moving goods across the state, both north. Those are some key pieces that I noticed on the freight piece. And then probably the development and the continued investment when it comes to the aging infrastructure that is just what we have to face in the Northeast. If you built it first, you're going to have to rebuild it first. And we really haven't made that flip of major investment.
Ryan?
Yes. I think to further build on what Carly talked about, I think what she said at the end of her comments about the age of infrastructure being a key piece. You know, we talk about the amount of dollars that are spent in various states around the country. And on one hand, people say that New York's population isn't increasing. We don't need to be spending the money like some of the other states that are seeing population increases. But what that conversation doesn't include is the fact that our infrastructure is some of the oldest in the country. We in the Northeast developed our infrastructure earlier than a lot of these other states. So where they have bridges across the state that are average age in, you know, a few decades, ours are, you know, many, many decades older than that, in some cases nearing 100 years old for some of our bridges. And that presents a real challenge in terms of the needs that we see in this area of the country, and particularly in New York State, where we still see high volumes and, you know, heavy traffic with very old infrastructure. And at the same time, we're seeing increased pressures on the amount that we are spending, because it's more expensive when you go out to do work on our roadways, to do the maintenance and protection of traffic, to keep traffic flowing while you're doing the work. There's reduced tolerance for inconvenience to the traveling public. So it makes it more expensive to do that infrastructure rebuild than it was even a decade or two decades ago. So in short, we're getting less bang for our buck, and we're not spending more money as we should be anyway. And to that end, I think there are also things that we can do both with the infrastructure owners and within the construction industry to get away from the longstanding mentality of doing things the way that they've always been done. I think there are technologies that we can embrace, some more intelligent transportation pieces that we can embrace, and, you know, things that, like what Carly mentioned with the electronic toll collection, that's something that's going on all over the country, and it's something that New York has been very slow to get on board with. And it's, and on a number of fronts, that can really help that situation.
Before I ask Cal the same question, I have a question about the electronic tolls. Does that reduce or lay off state workers who are toll collectors?
I would think that ultimately it would reduce the personnel costs for an organization like the New York State Thruway, but I think that's something they need to do. The amount of money that they spend on their overhead is very high when their needs for reconstruction of their infrastructure are very high. So they need to find ways to ultimately cut costs. It's going to be an investment to get to that point, but it's no different from other changes we've seen in technology and culture in our state and around our country. As technology has changed, the workforce has to change along with it.
That's a great point, Ryan, and I'm sure Hale would also be able to talk about the piece on, you know, the economic justice piece. When we talk about the congestion around toll collection locations and the urban environments and the neighborhoods that surround those environments, they have increased exposure to the pollutants that are caused by backed up traffic. You know, that's from a city planning perspective, that's a no-brainer.
How?
Correct, and there's good ways to measure the convenience of being free of congestion as well as the environmental impacts. Did you want me to chime in on your original question, Cynthia, about freight?
Sure, whatever you deem is important.
Sure, and that's it's an important component, and recently the United States Department of Transportation designated a nationwide system of freight corridors and developed performance measures to assure reliability for freight movements throughout the country. So that's an important way to look at how we're going to invest. But there's such a change in global logistics now, and we're trying to get ahead of that in terms of how container traffic and other goods move around the nation, particularly with the expanded Panama Canal. So we've looked for ways to partner with, for example, Port of New York, New Jersey, developing an inland port distribution system in the Buffalo Niagara area. If you look at some of the way that freight is changing now, and you look at the Amazon model, for example, it's on-demand shipment of goods, mobile warehousing, including some of the goods are just constantly in motion. And there's even now experiments with Uber delivery, where a variety of carriers are just picking up parcels and delivering them. And there's even been in Colorado an autonomous vehicle as a truck delivering a shipment across to a different state. So we're trying to look at, again, how can we get ahead in the technology curve and use what we can do to improve our freight corridors and overall investment in transportation facilities.
When people think of infrastructure, they think of crumbling roads and bridges. In a perfect world, how much more money should be spent on infrastructure? Carly?
In a perfect world, none of us have to spend money, but For an ideal situation, you're talking billions of dollars of investment. I don't have a round figure as far as what it would take, but it really would require some serious backbone and commitment. There's no doubt about it, to get it up to snuff and up to what Hal saw and Ryan are mentioning with intelligent transportation systems and design systems that function towards the future, not just function in scrambling ahead of our own past, you know.
Now, how far into the future do you think New York State government is looking to improve the infrastructure, Ryan?
I think my feeling is that we're limping along. We're putting Band-Aids on the things that are threatening to bleed us to death, and we're addressing the emergency issues. We are not really looking toward the future at all because we're not investing enough money to be able to do that. I mean, I think that to really invest for the future, the amount spent needs to be 2 or 3 times what we're spending, maybe more than that. And that's truly investing in the future. That's building a workforce that's able to really build for the future, and that's investing in things that are really going to last a long time and give us a future where we aren't constantly band-aiding the things that are breaking. And I think it requires a real change in thinking, and it requires politicians that aren't afraid to step out there and say this is the right thing to do. And we don't have people who are doing that at this point.
And does it frustrate you?
Of course it does. It does from a personal standpoint, because I can't keep the people who I would like to keep working and making a good living and providing a meaningful contribution to our community working the way I would like to. And it's frustrating because I think from where I sit and from the knowledge I have in the industry and of the infrastructure, I know what is going on. I can see what's going on that's not being told to the general public. The people who are driving on our roads they know there are potholes, but they don't know how terrible our bridges are. They don't see the things that we see when we go out there to do a repair on a bridge that should be torn completely down. It isn't what it needs to be, and the information isn't out there the way it should be.
When you do repairs on bridges, that's a good question, because I hate bridges. I'm scared to death of them. I very rarely drive over a bridge, and even when somebody else is driving, I'm not particularly calm, cool, and collected. So when you see bridges that are really not up to par, even when anybody could answer this question, are you fearful that one day there will be a serious accident on a bridge and there will be many casualties?
Well, there have been. There was one in Minneapolis not too many years ago, and there were numerous bridges around the country of that same design from that same era, and where action should have been taken immediately to replace those bridges, it wasn't done. And there will undoubtedly be another serious incident. And there have been other less press-worthy ones in the past, but it's not something that's going to go away, not with the way it's being addressed now, which is completely inadequate.
Now, when you say inadequate, has there been other administrations besides the present one that have not been fully helpful towards infrastructure?
Well, Hale, do you have ideas of who has been very, what has worked successfully when it comes to planning agendas and legislative leadership or governing leadership that has taken the bull by the horns in the past?
I mean, really, at the national level, the model is broken because the gas tax hasn't changed since 1993. And if you can imagine trying to run your household budget on a 1993 funding level, it would never work. Plus, it was based on cents per gallon of gasoline purchased back when all the vehicles were gasoline, obviously, or diesel. That has changed now. We have so many more other types of fuel sources. And, you know, it's making for certainly a much less robust ability to invest in our transportation resources. So we need to find some creative ways to do that. Some of the next administration at the national level proposed increase use of public-private partnerships, tax increment financing, for example. We need to find some creative ways to get this done. At the end of the day, it's not just about crumbling infrastructure, convenience, and potholes, but it's all about the economy. If we let our infrastructure deteriorate, and when we go around here, one of the most important things to employers and their ability to attract and retain people is the ability to get them to work. So we need to be able to make that really work for everybody, and that's a sound investment in our national and statewide economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think basically this is more a federal issue than a state issue?
It's both. And right now, many of our bigger projects are being funded from multiple sources, federal, state, local, and even private financing to get these done. So we look for different ways to package what we can make available to get these done, but it's not a consistent formula, and it's not forward-looking in our ability to plan long-term for the kind of reconstruction of this infrastructure that we really need.
Now, do you think more emphasis should be put on public transportation and away from single cars? And I'll kind of put that in perspective. I live in Saratoga County, and I worked in Albany for years. So I would travel back and forth on public transportation, the bus. And what I noticed over the years when I would look out the window, I would see all cars with like one passenger, and there was no carpooling, no ride sharing. So does that particular aspect of transportation kind of baffle you guys?
Yeah,
not
baffle
all,
is a good word.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is like intrinsically woven into the culture of our society that it's an extension of the self, is the vehicle, you know. And I think that there is, you know, significant movement away from that millennial, generationally wise. You know, I think people they come into a different place generationally, and they're open to more things like what you're talking about, ride sharing. And, you know, that's something that a couple legislators locally are fighting for Western New York. You know, we don't have ride sharing as an option. You know, people, not only millennials, but your retired and your aging generation who maybe no longer either can afford it or B, you know, isn't physically capable of operating a vehicle. You know, these are two really important generational categories to take care of from a societal position, and not having something as simple as ride sharing and increased investments in, like you said, mass transit. I mean, I think locally we just got recently informed that we'll have an extension to our light rail here in Western New York, but that's been how long overdue.
Karen, and those transit projects in conjunction with ride sharing and other modes, I mean, that offers a whole different dynamic in mobility, because we are, it's a generational shift where the desire for always owning a car and using that for every trip just aren't there. I mean, and when I tell people to imagine a future where you just tap your phone and a ride appears, I mean, you're not shoveling your car out, you're not worrying about enough gas, you're not looking for parking, you're not driving when you're tired or you want to visit. We can build that soon and change the face of mobility in America fairly quickly.
And is anybody looking at that? That's interesting.
Yes, we're
any
doing that. As Carly mentioned, first step is we just need to get ride-sharing and Uber upstate, and that needs to happen soon, and that's one component of it. But then there's also Uber and autonomous vehicles that can pick up a number of people, create their own routes. They can hook up with transit, give more riders to the transit systems, make everything more efficient.
Yeah, I think there's both leaders on the congressional level and the local Senate level are working on both a train project and then the ride sharing project. And then, like you said, you brought up before the issue of job loss with electronic toll infrastructure being established, but ride sharing and Uber job creation, but you know, towards the future, and you've got to be able to have the vision to deliver on that. And, you know, without everyone collectively agreeing, it becomes, you know, a stagnant situation.
So what do you think is the most pressing issue that should be addressed by the legislature this session?
My feeling is that it should be... I'm sorry, this is Ryan. My feeling is that it should be better utilization of the funds that we have. I think there needs to be some real attention brought to the fact that to just put a thin overlay of blacktop on a road that lasts 2 years to make it look good for until the next election is not what we need for the future of our infrastructure. We need to I understand that there are budgetary concerns coming from every direction and that we might not be able to double or triple our infrastructure spending, but we need to be smart about how we spend what we have, and we need to think toward the future of how we spend what we have. And if that means doing fewer projects but doing them in a meaningful way such that they'll provide greater life cycle for what we do, then that's important because that's how we're going to develop at least portions of our infrastructure such that they're sustainable and including in those projects things that enable us to move forward with some of these intelligent transportation systems. And I think there's a lack of some of that forward thinking that needs to occur.
On all levels?
On all levels politically, are you saying?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I think that it needs to – I know the Federal Highway Administration is working on a lot of these initiatives. I don't think they get passed down both to the political side and to the states as well as they could be. The ideas are out there. There are people working on these things, but I think the politicians in some cases are afraid to embrace them.
Why do you think that's so?
Because they're more concerned about being reelected than doing the right thing.
Okay. This has been pretty interesting. My one last question is, you know, everybody is aware that there's new technology. How do you think the new technology has affected the way you look at infrastructure, Carly?
Cynthia, I'd like to go back to your previous point, and something that Ryan was mentioning is that political will, and it seems as though even when there may be a political will on a local level and there's constituents and labor expressing a conviction that it is the next right thing to do is a major investment, It seems like there's some jockeying that happens with funds, whether it's on the federal level where the FAST Act has languished in approval. And so dollars that were, you know, admittedly supposed to be going into funding programs, New York State takes a lot of federal funding for their infrastructure system. That causes distress and anxiety, I feel, on the financial piece, the management piece in the state, whether it's New York or our counterparts in other areas. Now, that dependency on the engine of government is causing other regions and areas to take on creative solutions, which include some of these private and public partnerships. Now, whether or not that's the answer, it's dealing with the problem. And the problem is that you can't keep putting off something that everybody depends on daily. And so, you know, I feel like there's some stagnance and there's some jockeying and there's some ego issues that happen when it comes to delivering on promises. And there, it creates anxiety very often when it comes to, well, these are the needs and this is what we told you we were going to do. But here we are 3 years later and it still hasn't happened. And when you start, when I've at least in a couple of instances where I've dug into it, it really seems to fall apart in some of the inner halls of government where maybe not everybody in the public is privy to the conversations and the battles that are getting waged and what's being held hostage to achieving one goal for somebody that maybe isn't the same as another person. And, you know, that's not the way that things should be done for the public. And the public good depends on public infrastructure, whether it's water, whether it's roads, whether it's technology. And that's not right. You know, and that's a part of the system that I feel is it breaks down. And I don't know that there's any finger pointing that can really be done as to why that breaks down, but we know that it does. And Ryan did point out that sometimes it seems as though there are initiatives that are unbalanced, too, depending on where the seat of power is. When it comes to especially New York State. And, you know, you'll find that very often.
Hello?
Mass transit and things like that.
Okay.
How? I don't know.
How?
Yes. Carly's still talking?
No.
I would certainly agree with Ryan and Carly that the need for infrastructure rebuild is critical. And your question about technology, that can help us maximize the efficiency of the system we have, but we still need to have a system, and it needs to be reliable, which means you need to reconstruct roads, bridges, and keep that infrastructure in a condition that will provide reliable service for the traveling public. And the technology can enhance that capability and improve overall mobility, but still, at the end of the day, you need to be able to drive on something.
Okay. So this issue will definitely be discussed further. Does any of you have anything to say in the closing moments?
Hal, I had a question for you. Do you find that when it comes to some things that have happened on the technology piece in Canada or in other areas, are things that could be replicated here? Are there any specific items you've noticed?
Sure. I mean, we're starting with some and we recently were awarded in this region a grant to demonstrate some of these things, which include in-vehicle communication, vehicle-to-vehicle communication, where you can warn following vehicles about accidents or weather conditions ahead, make everybody's travel much easier. Yes, we work with Ministry of Transport Ontario. In fact, we do coordinated planning on both sides of the border. So we are trying to demonstrate some of the deployments that they've already used and get way ahead of the curve in the U.S. side.
Ryan?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add?
I'm sorry.
Do you have
say
anything
again?
To add? Do you have
no,
anything
I, other
to
than,
add?
I just like to say that there are technologies out there that can help us do a better job of what we're doing with our infrastructure. And I think it's important that we pay attention to those and not continue to do things the way they've always been done just because that's the way they've always been done. And that's a trap that it's easy to fall into, and I think that we're doing ourselves a real disservice by doing that.
Okay, thank you so much. You've been listening to Focus on Albany with Carly Hill, AGC Regional Director 5, Region 5, Ryan Forrestal, President of Cold Spring Construction, and Hal Moss, Executive Director of the Greater Buffalo and Niagara Transportation Council. And, of course, this will be an ongoing dialogue. If you like this program, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment or criticism about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Carly, you just sent me something that didn't take.